Welcome back. This is another one of our core episodes. And it is Olympic time here around the Stokes house. We have for years enjoyed watching the Olympics together, and it's Winter Olympics. And Betsy, what's your one of your favorite Winter Olympic sports?
Well, I know that I should probably say like the ice skating, the figure skating or something really popular, but I actually really like curling. I know it's not a big thing in Alabama, but I just think it's fascinating and it's really precise and very detail oriented like I am. So I really like to watch it and they just get, you know, really focused and serious. And I just respect that.
Yeah. You can even play curling on the Wii. Like there
For
are,
real?
Yeah, there's like Winter Olympic game on the Wii.
It's a big deal
different
somewhere.
Different versions. And you can do some curling, like shaking the Wiimote, you know, like you're sweeping. It's fun. I'm still getting used to the language or the jargon from it. They say things like, the house is full. They're trying to get the stone in the button.
And they have the hammer.
Yeah, I don't know
the
what
Americans
that means.
The Americans have the hammer. Right.
And the commentators, at least so far, haven't done a very good job of it, explaining it to us curling novices.
Right.
So one of the things that it can be so helpful in relationships is having the same language to talk about things, emotional things. So
nice
that's where
point. Nice transition there.
That's right. Cause we're going to talk more about relational needs today. And if you haven't already downloaded and filled out the relational needs quiz, go to chuckandbetsy.org, download that, you know, pause this and complete that first, and then see what shows up as far as the relational needs that are most prominent in your life right now.
Yeah, so, and you can have your spouse do it as well, or your best friend, or your roommate, and just kind of get to know them better, and you can see if y'all have relational needs in common, or if you're just very different. And it's a lot of fun, a good way to get to know someone.
It's a great diagnostic tool, a great way to get some feedback on where you are emotionally. And we'll talk more about the specifics in a minute, but I'll just say right here at the outset that at one time or another, we all have these different relational needs.
Yes, we all have all of them, all 10 of them, but sometimes they're felt more strongly, and sometimes different temperaments or personality types tend toward different relational needs.
Maybe some things that happened early in life or a significant event in your life might cause one or two relational needs to always be at the forefront for you.
Kind of hot, kind of always tender spots kind of thing.
So just like our Olympic athletes need diagnostics and feedback to tweak their performances and perform at optimal levels, this is a feedback tool to help us think about where we are emotionally.
So it's important to always keep in mind the goal of getting your needs met. So now that you are more familiar with what your relational needs are, you want to take the next step towards getting them met. But always keep the goal in mind when trying to get your needs met, and that is the connection itself is the goal. The strengthened relationship is the reward. So if you are looking to manipulate the person and get anything else out of these interactions, except you getting your needs met and then that person getting their relational needs met in a healthy way, then you're not actually meeting any needs. You're just manipulating. If you're saying something like, I want to meet your needs and help you meet my needs in order to experience you in a more loving way, in order to know you better, build connections, give and receive love with you, then if that is how you could put your intentions, then you're on the right track. If you become manipulative, you'll know you're becoming manipulative if you are treating the other person as an object. And I know it's a strange thing to picture because you know that this is a person just like you are. But the way that you treat someone in an objectifying way is when you have a very narrow view of what their reaction should be and what they should do. So you're not giving them freedom really to be themselves. You have maybe a narrowly defined way that they need to respond to you. You know precisely what words they need to say and how it needs to feel. And instead, you're trying to kind of program them like you were with an object. And you can think about how we often try to use objects to fulfill personal needs. For instance, like we can sometimes use food, even though it's an object, to meet a need that's really a relational need.
Like comfort eating.
Yes, like comfort eating. Like when people say, you know, oh, you're eating your feelings.
Right.
You know, that kind of thing. And that can lead to very unhealthy bodies, right? And then you're still very sad because you're not actually getting the comfort that you want. Yeah, so food is an object. So it's not going to really meet a relational need. And then another way that we try to get relational needs met through objects is through media. We actually start to feel sometimes like we have relationships with television personalities and people on our favorite shows, you know? And I mean, I get just as wrapped up in This Is Us, you know, like anyone else. But you have to keep straight in your head that you don't actually have a relationship with these people, even though you might cry or laugh or have moments of joy from interacting with media. There's no connection. And so it's not really a relational experience. It's an emotional experience, but it's not a relational experience.
Because there's no one to relate to on the other side.
There's no one there.
An imaginary person.
They don't know you. They don't know that you're crying. Yeah. And if you have an actual flesh and blood person right in front of you, but you are just wanting an emotional experience, but you're not wanting a real, natural, kind of human connection, then you're just manipulating. You can get people to say whatever you want them to say to make you feel better. But the goal should be to get to know the person better, to build a connection, and to give and receive love.
You know, thinking about this, one thing that's a sign for me that maybe I'm not in the right mindset, that I'm manipulating, is if things don't go my way, if the person doesn't respond the way I want them to, I get upset.
Right. Same here.
Because if my concern is really about the other person and trying to connect with them, trying to meet their needs, then I'm going to back up, try to see where the misunderstanding was and continue to try to do that out of love and care for that person. But when it's manipulation, they don't respond the way I want them to, then I'm upset.
So the ultimate goal of getting your needs met is connecting with another person. And really the ultimate goal is to experience God more as you see God meet that person's needs and use you to do it.
Right. Now we're going to talk specifically about the 10 relational needs. So just like we were saying earlier with an Olympic athlete and the jargon in a particular sport, it can help us to have that specificity. So here are some words that can give us a way to express our emotions or our relational needs.
Yeah.
So acceptance, in short, is unconditional kindness. Affection, loving words and touches. Appreciation, praise for what a person does. Approval, praise for whom a person is. Attention is entering a person's world alongside them.
Yeah, and about attention, just a neat note is that a lot of times we think that if someone's trying to get attention, that it's a big insult. That means that that person, you know, is inappropriate in how much they want people to notice them. But actually, attention, the way we're using it, is someone who enters your world and kind of understands where you're coming from and is in it with you. It's different than someone just paying attention and looking your direction, you know?
Yeah, it's very basic. I mean, you see kids, they want their parents to see what they're doing. Look at this picture I drew, that kind of thing.
Yeah, a good picture to think about attention is a grown-up getting on the floor and playing Legos with a child and getting in their world and playing in their world instead of expecting the child to speak grown-up language and enter their world.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, so those are the first five. And the second five, the final five, are comfort, which we've talked about a lot in this podcast, and it's bearing emotional burdens, encouragement, which is basically being a cheerleader
for someone. Mourn with those who mourn, rejoice with those who rejoice.
Right, exactly. So that's comfort, mourn with those who mourn, encouragement, rejoice with those who rejoice. The important point to remember about encouragement is that you're encouraging someone towards a goal that they have set. So it's not encouragement if you nag someone to do something you want them to do. That's just nagging. But if someone says, I'm really trying to lose 15 pounds, will you help me not drink, you know, regular Cokes, you know, then it's encouragement to encourage them not to do that, you know, that kind of thing. Okay. And then there's respect, which is, in short, taking someone seriously. And then there's security. And security is a little tricky because there's actually two types of security. And one is safety and one is peace. So the security that has to do with safety is basically when someone is feeling protected, and you can meet someone's need by being protective of them and being proactive in being concerned about their safety. And then the security that relates to peace is where you feel like you are safe, that conflict will be handled gently. And then you can meet that person's need by handling conflict gently, speaking kindly and gently, even if there's conflict. So there's security, safety, and security, peace. And then the final one is support. And it's bearing practical burdens, coming alongside someone and helping them.
One thing about, as I look through this list, the five A's there at the beginning, acceptance, affection, appreciation, approval, attention, there's a sense in which those can run together a bit. And mm-hmm. there can be some overlap in the way we try to meet those needs. But I think something like this quiz and talking with a loved one who you're interacting with, trying to meet their needs, they're trying to meet your needs, a spouse especially, or a child, especially as the kid gets older, those having that specificity can really make a difference. For example, someone might have a real need for approval, which is about who they are, but another person keeps giving them appreciation, which is for what they do, and that's not hitting the mark.
Right. So now for the practical application. Now that we have all this information and we understand the goal of getting needs met and we understand the different needs, how do you do this? How do you build connection? Let's just say with your spouse. How do you build that connection through meeting needs? Well, you have to communicate with each other. And I'm going to give you a model phrase, a model statement that you can use. And of course, you'll want to put it in your own words. Or maybe if you're not that, you know, creative a communicator, you can just use these words exactly and they work just fine. So you would say, I feel the need for blank. Okay, let's just say, I feel the need for appreciation. So what you're feeling inside is that you're working so hard and no one ever says thank you and no one praises you and you feel like you never get recognized for your achievements. Okay, all that doesn't necessarily need to come out. Take that to the Lord in prayer. You're going to communicate in the language of relational needs. So you're going to say, I feel the need for appreciation. Okay, and an action that you can take to help meet that need is blank. Whatever. And it's important that you give a practical action because it's not fair and it's not realistic to imagine that the other person is going to be able to figure out, right, what to do to meet your needs.
Absolutely.
Probably if the other person knew what to do, he or she would already be doing it. So the phrase is, I feel the need for blank. And an action you can take to meet that need is blank. And then you follow it up with, I will feel blank when you do that. And this is giving your partner or your friend hope that they have the power to meet your need. So I will feel encouraged when you do that. I will feel joyful when you do that. I will feel loved when you do that. And this is really a great way to set them up to succeed. Rather than then just come to them with, I have this deep, bottomless pit of need, and I don't know what to do, and I'm not going to give you any ideas, so knock yourself out, you know. Right.
It's so helpful to be specific about this and ask for what you need. It really gives the person that you're in relationship with language, a specific action, like you said. Mm-hmm. And let me just say, when you're on the receiving end or when you're hearing someone these you statements. Love mm-hmm. make this statement to you, it's important not to get defensive, to have the mindset that this person isn't saying, you should have been doing this all along, and now you right. need to get in line. This person's actually making an attempt to connect, mm-hmm. and we should see it in that way. When someone's taking the time and the care to use this kind of language and ask for what they need, see that as them reaching out to you, as them wanting to connect with you, and receive it in that way rather than they're telling me what I haven't been doing.
Right. Exactly. So here's just another easy example. I feel the need for affection. And an action you can take to meet that need is to hug me when I come home. I will feel loved when you do that. See, it's just a simple formula, but it can be very powerful.
And it's like you said, it's okay just to use these words. Right. Even if it sounds a little wooden or a little stiff. It's like we were talking about with the Olympic athletes. There's specific it's language fundamentals. Sometimes. That's
fundamentals.
Right.
Fundamentals.
So yeah. use the specific language. Use the jargon, and it's
right.
okay.
So after you've given these statements, then what do you do? Well, you look forward to it. You anticipate that your partner, your friend, is going to respond positively, and then you receive what's offered. Don't critique it or say, well, that's just not good enough. Don't expect that the person's response is going to be perfect. Instead, honor the effort and enjoy the connection because you have communicated a need and your friend has responded. And that's a wonderful thing. And you have built a connection.
Oh, that is so important. Mm-hmm. Such an important point, because if the other person is trying, you made an effort by saying, this is what I need. Mm-hmm. The other person is trying to meet that need, even if imperfectly. Again, see the goodwill in that person is trying to meet your need. Mm-hmm. If you critique it, like you said, that can just shut the whole thing down. What's the ultimate goal of all this?
To connect, to give and receive love. Yes.
That's right. And to let God work through us in that process. So
right.
It doesn't have to be perfection.
So Chuck, tell us a little bit about the other end, the person who is meeting the need.
Right. So when you're the person who's meeting the need, this isn't for you to get a trophy or gold medal, to use our Olympic metaphor.
Right.
Your reward is the connection. It's the chance to work alongside Christ in meeting the relational needs of another person, to let Christ work through you. And then that connection with the other person really is so much reward in itself. We all know the value of having a good friend, someone who loves us, and loving someone else. To give is better than to receive in that sense. So it's not about trophy. It's not about them saying, wow, you did it. You met my need.
You did great. You're right.
But it's about making the connection.
If you're feeling very strongly like you need to be celebrated, you might have your own need for appreciation
right.
that you need to communicate. Well, thanks for joining us, and we'd love to hear your questions or your concerns or your suggestions. So visit us at chuckandbetsy.org, and you can contact us through that.